We got our first sub 5-star review.
Oh, no. I didn't know that.
Yeah. We got a 2. No comments.
Okay.
But I completely own that. I feel that, you know what? I feel that I've made a lot of mistakes, and I can definitely do better. But I'm trying to be positive about it, that this is season one, and we're working out a lot of the kinks, and we're continually trying to make the show better, and it's evolving, kind of like Native Plants Healthy Planet did its first year. Mm-hmm. And we have this week and next week. Next week is the season one finale, and then we're going to come back in the summer for season two, mm-hmm. and it's going to be – we're going to tighten the nuts, and it's going to be –
We already have some new ideas to throw in there. We might even trial some before the end of the year. We'll see. But it's a lot of fun to put it together. And
it
I
is.
Know from talking to people, they really enjoy it, including people who I know are bigger plant experts than I am and probably even bigger than you, Fran.
Oh,
and they're saying, oh, I learned a lot of new things from this, which either means you made a lot of things up or.
First of all, you're correct or you're incorrect by assuming I'm a plant expert. And, you know, it's just I think it was the manner in which I've collected the data. I've come up with a good system and it's gotten better throughout the season. The problem is this week may be one of the first ones I collected data on. Mm-hmm. So there's going to be some mistakes.
Yeah.
And I totally it's kind of hard when you're trying to give people information about plants and you're coming back every couple of days saying, oh, I made a mistake. So hopefully the entertainment value's there mm-hmm. where. So, all right. So, speaking of which, let's get into today's plant. You want to give me five? Why don't you ask me five questions?
I'm going to ask five questions.
Ask me five questions.
And my standard first question, is it a tree, shrub, what do I also include there? Forb or
other.
Graminoid or other. Yeah.
It is a deciduous tree of the Sapindaceae family.
Okay. Deciduous tree. And let's see here. About how tall do you say it gets?
It has a height range of 40 to 100 feet.
Wow. Okay, that's a pretty big range.
It's a big range. Which to me tells me that's a forest tree.
Yes, yeah.
You know.
I'm going to say, does it have a... No. I'm not going to ask that question yet. What's its fall color?
It has a traditional red fall color.
Red fall color. Okay.
That's three.
Okay. Does it have a distinguishable flower? And if so, what color would it be?
It has very small red flower clusters. The male flowers are decorative.
Okay. Small red flowers. Let's see. And the last thing I'm going to ask is... what's its wetland indicator status?
It is facultative.
Okay.
Facultative.
Oh, man. The only thing that's coming to my mind is red maple, Acer, rubrum. But I don't know if that's in this, what do you say, the Sapindaceae?
Sapindaceae family, which includes...
It doesn't seem like it would be.
I'm not going to tell you the genus, obviously, but Sapindaceae family also includes buckeye, which is Aeschylus.
Okay. Seeing that I don't have another thing popping in my head, that's what I'm going to go with for the sake of time.
All right. Tom's guess is red maple, which is
red maple.
No, we did not.
Okay. So there's a chance.
Tom's guess is, Acer rubrum, which is red maple.
It's a Sapindaceae.
It is Sapindaceae. It's Aeschylus and Acer. And speaking of improvements, we had the request to lower the volume of the dings and buzzer because there were some early morning listeners that were getting scared.
Yeah.
Scared
I hope
awake.
There's someone out there saying, I need my ding and my buzzer.
You're listening to A Native Plant Every Day with Tom and Fran.
Welcome back to another week of A Native Plant Every Day with Tom and Fran. I am Fran.
And I'm Tom.
And today's plant is Acer rubrum, which is known as red maple, and it's also called swamp maple.
Yeah, and one of the questions I was going to ask at the very end for when I had to pick my fifth question, I was going to say, ooh, the native range on red maples, what I'm thinking of, is really big. So yes. I'm going to ask what the native range is, and then I'm thinking, but is that really going to help me or not?
Yeah. You know, it's the native range is from Florida to Maine and then west to Texas. So it is a fairly big range. You know, and I have to go back, you know, one of the things that when I was looking at bone apps for some of the last ones, I know one of our listeners got back to us when we were talking about Rus Aromatica and said it's really not native in Washington State. I went back and looked, and it was naturalized in just eastern parts of Washington State. I kind of missed that one then. I don't think it was native in Maine either. So I should have just said most of the continental U.S.
Yep.
I would have been safe, but no, that's a pretty big range. That's a pretty big range.
So red maples are probably one of my favorite trees around here, but also one of my least favorite trees at the same time. And I'm going to save that little tidbit to the end because I, in fact, I don't know if you know. So I'm going to throw that in. Maybe I'll give you the last question. Figure out if I'm telling the truth or lying.
All right. But all right. Cool.
Tell us a little bit more about what red maples look like. I know they have definitely unique leaves, so that's what I'm thinking of.
Yeah, you know, it's we've already talked about sugar maple, which I think most people think of as the classic maple leaf, which has five lobes. The leaf of red maple is a palmate leaf with three lobes and a serrated margin, but not like not as serrated as silver maple, but it's more of a three-lobed leaf, and it's a light gray smooth bark where sugar maple has a darker bark and silver maple has more of a furrowed bark. This is like a smooth gray bark.
And one of the ways you can identify maples is through the acronym Madcap Horse, of which the M stands for maples.
Maples. And so, what does that acronym stand for?
Oh, Madcap Horse? It means that they have opposite branching leaves, buds, and branches, which I already said.
So it's maples. So, all right. What can
you
can
wanted you, me to say? All
yeah,
the,
come on.
words.
So I'm all
not,
the all
no,
the,
I'm on the spot. I'm not
all the
remember.
Acronyms. They're all they all stand for plants that have opposite branching, and maples have opposite branching leaves, buds, and branches.
Yeah.
And we discussed that with sugar maple.
So do you remember? Because I'm blanking right now.
No,
it's I've said it before. My dad's going to be really mad.
Yeah.
Thank God he doesn't listen to these episodes.
All right. We're going to do a quick Google.
While you're looking that up, what I find or love about this tree, one of the things I really love is that it's blooming. Well, I was going to say right now. It is still blooming right now, but it kind of was blooming since early March in our area of New Jersey, and it'll bloom into April. And those blooms are that reddish. They get like a really red showiness. The thing is, they're 40 to 100 feet up in the air, so you don't see them. But we actually cut down some red maples and then they're on the ground and I could take some really cool pictures of what the blooms look like. But because they're blooming now and there's not a lot of other things that are blooming quite yet. Now you're seeing the Bradford pears and forsythia and those kinds of stuff blooming too. But the native species that are blooming now is really a lot of your maples, and they're providing really great early season forage for a lot of our native bees in addition to honeybees and other things too. But that's one of the really great things about maples. In addition to, that's where we get our maple sap, because we don't have many sugar maples, or if any sugar maples around here, to harvest sap from, and red maples will work as well.
And we learned that from Cass Urban Mead of the Xerces Society when she came on Native Plants Healthy Planet and talked about just how limited early season blooms or pollen is. You know, there's a lack of availability, and there are native bees that are active at that time of year. So, all right, so Madcap Horse, these are trees with opposite branching. It's maple.
Is it alder next?
Ash.
Ash. Oh, I'm already screwing up. I forget what the D is.
Dogwood.
Yep.
And then
Caperfoliaceae.
That's the cap, which is.
And horse chestnut.
Yes.
The A was throwing me off. I'm like, I'm not even going to get past A, so I'm not going to remember the rest.
So that's obviously with Aeschylus and maples being in the same family, and the Caperfoliaceae family contains things like viburnum.
Mm-hmm.
So there you go. All right. So the blooms, like Tom was mentioning, they're kind of blooming now. It's March to April. And then the seeds that it forms is that traditional samara. They look like two wings attached. So they look like helicopter wings.
That's what I was going to say. A lot of people say they're like the helicopters.
And it's really, you figure that's a genius way of nature making sure that these trees can reproduce, because maples can have such large canopies. You need that seed dispersed wide enough to be able, you know, so it's not germinating underneath the tree where it's not enough sunlight. It really ensured that seed can fall and get far enough away to survive, which is pretty phenomenal. And it does have like a red-brown fruit.
Mm-hmm. And I see here that you have that they grow in full sun and and part shade.
Yeah.
And that makes sense because a lot of times I see them, it tends to be, I really see them in wetter areas more often than drier areas.
Yes.
And
hence swamp maple.
Yep. They also call them swamp maples. And then they tend to be like fairly early successional in those areas. At least that's what I've seen.
Yeah. Yeah. It's actually, I guess, technically it's considered a mid-successional forest tree and it's very fast growing. And that would make sense, you know, as mid-successional, like it's going to come up and take off pretty good. But I think the full sun to part shade, given the height range, you know, it can survive on the edge. It will live in a denser canopy also.
Yeah. And your next line here is actually reminding me of a plant pathology class I took in college 15 years ago. I think I was a freshman or a sophomore when I took it.
All right.
And learned about maple leaf spot. I see leaf spot is an issue on some maples.
Leaf spot, it's susceptible, you know, typical thing, canker for maples, leaf spot, and Asian longhorn beetle. You know, if you're in an area that has Asian longhorn beetle, which like softwood trees, that's one that you have to worry about.
Yeah. So, and then, what kind of wildlife benefit does this give?
So, it does provide shelter for wood ducks that can nest inside cavities. Of red maple. It is browsed by deer, and it's also liked by squirrels and birds. It is the larval host for the rosy maple moth, the cercopia moth, and others. And moths do like to lay eggs on maples, so it's really is contributing to the life cycle and the food web. Mm-hmm. And inchworms tend to be happy on maples. That's one place if you haven't seen inchworms, in a while. Yeah. Check some maples.
I'm assuming that it's not helpful to horses.
No, it is toxic. It is toxic to horses.
They aren't technically wildlife. They're a domestic animal.
Yes. So. Yeah. No, but and if you're curious, too, about putting one on your yard, it does have more of a shallow root system. Uh-huh. You're smiling.
I'm smiling because I looked ahead at one of your clues here.
I know why you're smiling.
I was going to say, can I make any like instruments out of this kind of tree, or can you only use inkberry holly?
That's good for instruments. You can totally use wood. The wood for red maples are used for making boxes and also instruments. So that is factual. That one is true. And you already mentioned that honeybees like this plant for the early blooms. You can and you've done this. You can make honey from red maple. It doesn't have to be sugar maple. You've done red maple, correct?
Maple syrup.
Or maple syrup, yeah.
Yeah. So you do it the same way. You tap them, and it's basically the sugar maples just have a higher sugar content than the red maples do, so you just need more sap. As if 40 gallons to 1 gallon
I
of
think
syrup
so.
Wasn't bad enough. You need even more red maple sap to make 1 gallon of maple syrup.
It just takes way, way longer but it's to take care of it.
In my mind, just as delicious, but I haven't made my own sugar maple syrup yet, so maybe that is more delicious, but the red maples isn't bad.
Yeah.
So,
and one of the Native American uses for red maple was they used the bark as a wash for inflamed eyes and a remedy for hives and muscle aches. So I just noticed that wasn't in your final quiz.
I see that.
Because we're changing the final quiz for today. We're going to try something new. We're trialing something. So we're going to do a lightning round, and today I have 5 questions. Mm-hmm. And instead of you trying to pick out which one's false, it's going to be a series of multiple choice or true and false. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to give you 5 questions. We're going to hit the ding or buzz the buzz, and we'll see if you get more right than wrong.
All right.
All right, you ready?
Yes, I'm ready.
The lightning round. Red maple tea has been used to treat diarrhea, headaches.
Oh, this is like A, diarrhea, B,
A,
headaches.
A, diarrhea, okay. B, headaches, C, dizziness.
I'm going to go with A, diarrhea. Every plant helps with diarrhea.
Red maple can live for 100 to 150 years old, 200 to 250 years old, or 300 years plus.
I'm going to go with B, which was 200 years?
200 to 250 years. Oh. It's 100 to 150 years.
I knew that, and I said, no, he would have had something lower than that.
You may recognize this clue also. Pioneers made cinnamon brown ink from the bark, A, black ink from the bark, or not used for ink at all.
I'm going to say it wasn't used for ink at all. Oh, gosh.
They made cinnamon brown ink from the bark. And I accidentally threw that one in Inkberry too. Yeah, okay. That's why I thought you might recognize it. All right, one right, two wrong. The tallest living red maple is in Armada, Michigan, and it is currently A, 125 feet tall, B, 145 feet tall, C, 165 feet tall.
165 was the tallest, right?
Yes.
I'm going to go with that. Oh.
125.
Oh, that's not that tall.
No. Yeah. No.
Well, it's tall, but it's not
as
tall as I would expect, a little taller.
And red maple is the state tree of A, Minnesota, B, Massachusetts, C, Rhode Island.
I'm going to go with B, Massachusetts. Oh, gosh. One for five.
Rhode Island.
We're not doing this segment again. And this was my idea.
But that was a lot of great, you know, these are things we would have typically discussed earlier in the episode. So red maple has been used to make a tea that treats both coughs and diarrhea. It can live to be 100 to 150 years old, which makes sense mid-successional.
Yeah, yeah.
Pioneers did make a cinnamon brown ink from the bark. The tallest living red maple in Armada, Michigan, which I don't have the name, is 125 foot tall, and it is the state tree of Rhode Island.
Awesome.
There you go.
Yeah.
Good way to start off the week. Yeah. So that is today's tree.
Except, would you plant it in your yard?
Oh, I almost forgot about that. You know, I don't – do I have it in – I don't – oh, I do have it in my yard right now. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I had it in my old property as well.
It's one I would, but I can't because of what my yard looks like now. Yeah. Love them as a tree. They get that beautiful fall color. I just have two red oaks in my front yard, and I don't know where I'd put a red maple. So I personally can't. But here's my quiz for you.
All right.
And I can't really give it to you as a quiz because you know the answer. I was going to say, oh, yeah, which of these three trees is the most populated in the United States? The answer is being red maple.
Yeah.
Because, and I just learned this middle of last week, I was actually talking to John Park, who was a guest from New Jersey Audubon on Native Plants, Healthy Planet, and I was saying how I cut down some red maples because there's just so darn many of them, and from a wildlife standpoint, they are beneficial, but they're not as beneficial as some other things let me rephrase that. They aren't as beneficial as the diversity we create by opening up the canopy and getting rid of some. We still left a lot. We still left most of them. But by cutting some down, we opened up the canopy. Now the sunlight's going to hit the ground. We got rid of the invasives, and we should have some really good forb and shrubs that are starting to come up at that ground level that will provide more biodiversity and increase our biodiversity of insects and animals there as well. That's why we did it. And we were joking around and saying, oh, there's got to be more red maples than any other tree in the country. Okay. Flash forward, like, literally 2 hours, I'm listening to a podcast where they did, like, outdoor trivia, and that was one of the questions, and I was like, it's got to be red maples, and I was right, because that's, now, by biomass, it's actually Douglas firs, but by actually number of species, it's red maples.
Well, do you know the ultimate height of Douglas fir?
I have no idea.
I would imagine, canopy-wise, you know, surface area, it's got... I would imagine Douglas fir over. Yep. Yeah, that makes sense. All right.
That's my red maple fact.
There you go. I love it. So great way to start off the week. We will be back tomorrow for another episode of A Native Plant Every Day with Tom and Fran. And until then, keep it native.
Thank you for listening to A Native Plant Every Day with Tom and Fran.
Hey, everyone, this is Fran.
And Tom.
And we just wanted to give you a quick reminder to tune in every Friday to our other podcast, Native Plants, Healthy Planet.
Yeah, so on Native Plants, Healthy Planet, we dive into all different kinds of subjects revolving around native plants and our ecology and having a healthy planet. We have guests from colleges, from other podcasts, from different nonprofits we work with, even authors. It's a really good time. We hope you join us over there.
Make sure you tune in, and until then, keep it native.